I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. What do you do with all the spare time you've been given? Don't act like you don't have tons of it. All the craziness and chaos, that's our own doing, right? That's on me. We cannot blame our busyness on the Lord. We can't. So what do you do with all the spare time you've been given? We are, with that in mind, we are continuing to look at Jesus through the lens of this offering, this tola offering that we talked about. It's the offering of each leper that Jesus healed as it was commanded by Moses for a testimony of Jesus. He sent the lepers. You got to give what was commanded by Moses as a testimony for Jesus. And among the items in this, it contained the mysterious and misunderstood tola. Each offering had this crushed tola, very specific scarlet scale insect that is classified as a worm. You'll find out why in a moment if you don't already know. But it's a worm that was used to make dye. And it's also used in Scripture to symbolize our sin, which will become white as snow and wool. Tola, just used a few times in Scripture, really specifically in its use. And in this passage where Isaiah says, our sin is tola, the scarlet worm, it'll become like snow, like wool. And we see that that is through the one who we are told becomes our tola on the cross when he gives birth to the church through his sacrifice. Here's just a quick few scriptures. Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, the Son of Man. Well, how? And they crucified him. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? A psalm of David, my God, why have you forsaken me? I am a tola, a worm. Very specific worm. I'm a tola and not a man. Man, we're told in Job, is a maggot, which, you know, sounds much nicer to say the children of tola. It's tola babies. I'm not a man. Man who is a maggot is a ramah, tola babies. And the Son of Man who is a tola, he is the tola. And he's birthing babies. For he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins, which is as foreboding as it sounds. We don't just skate. He died so that we might die to sins and live, really live, for righteousness. That's the truth that will set you free if you can stand it. And actually live it, do it. That's the cup the Father allowed to pass to us. And likewise, the tola that he created as a comparable to himself, I'm a tola, Son of Man is a tola. The tola attaches to a tree. And when it does, it loses the use of her legs, thus becoming classified as a worm. And then it forms an upside-down cup and literally pours out her life as food for her children. The tola dies on a tree so her children can live. And over 3 days, this scarlet mama turns snowy white, like frost or ash, looks like little hailstones, and a woolly patch where she's attached is pierced, and her body is broken open as a door for her children. And And this, Miss Scarlet, was commanded to be included in each leper's offering, each cleansed, healed leper's offering, as a testimony of the mysterious and misunderstood Son of Man, who is Tola. And Isaiah says that all God's children are covered in leprosy. It's my new word. I'm coining that. Leprosy. All God's children covered in leprosy, which is only removed, only cleansed, only taken away through Christ, who took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you." This bread represents my Tola body that'll be pierced and broken for you. Because the one who said, "I am Tola," also said, "I am the living bread," in direct reference to manna, the bread that came down from the skies. And as we saw, to our surprise, not only does Tola match perfectly the biblical description of manna, but, and I'm glad we don't have to do any guesswork, because we are just told straight out that day-old manna left uncooked, using the Bible's words here, birthed Tola maggots, Tola babies. So if you left manna out for one extra day, it birthed Tola babies, and Tola babies only come from Tola mamas, and Tola mamas lose the use of their legs, can't crawl into a bowl, which means we're just told straight out that manna, the manna that God blew in from the mountains, down from the skies, like hail, looked like frost, was Tola. And she's full of babies. Talk about a perfect little power pack of carbs and fat and protein. The living bread that was given to Israel as a comparable to the real deal given to the world. Jesus said, "The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Your forefathers ate the manna. We talk about that. The word manna means, what is it? In Aramaic, it means, who is it? But it's just, they ate the what is it. Yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, as opposed to the sky and off the mountains, which a man may eat and not die. In other words, you want to know, what is it? It's me. He says, "I am I, the Son of Man, who is Tola. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The flesh without the spirit counts for nothing. Flesh by itself, scripture without the spirit is dead words. My death on the cross without you, without the spirit, planting it in your heart and you living it is just history. The spirit gives life. The flesh without the spirit counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Revelation says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." That Old Testament, all that prophecy, that's his testimony. And there's no guessing allowed. I don't know how we got it in our mind as a Christian people that prophecy is meant for us to take wild guesses at. This is the first rule of our faith. I've shared it with you before. Peter points it out when he warns us in 2 Peter 1. Know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Those are called vain imaginations, and they corrupt Jesus' testimony like maggots in the manna. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. It's just, look, the word's perfect, but you got to play it God's way. But men moved by the Holy Spirit, we're not allowed to guess their meaning. We're called to seek it out with all our heart, to load it in and let the Spirit reveal. And the stink that came with the day-old manna, it represents spiritual stagnation. It represents an unwillingness to do that. It's like, you know what? I have enough. I read enough last week. I got enough scriptures going. Hold me a while. Ooh, Proverbs 28:9 says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, referring to the Old Testament now, Jesus' Bible, the Bible he grew up with. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Even their prayers, which we're told in Revelation, rise to God like incense, are detestable, meaning they stink. It appears lazy prayers stink to high heaven, literally. In contrast to the daily, freshly crushed manitola, which was very fragrant, tasted like honey, Paul writes that God always leads us in triumph in Christ. Remind yourself of that, because it don't always feel that way, but everything's for our eternal best. You either believe it or you don't. He's either God or he isn't. So Paul says, God always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ, the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life, which is a weird thing, because if we really want life, we must die to self. Read this with me, please. If we really want life, we must die to self. A lot of people don't want to do that. So to them, it's like, P.U., that smells like death that leads to death. Well, it's death that leads to life. And then when you get it, you go, wait, that's not death at all. That's life that leads to life. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. See yourself that way. That's how we follow. We're not checking religious boxes. And live a life of love. For real. The real deal. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering. He was crushed. That was no fun. And my goodness, there's so little in Jesus' short few years here on earth that were enjoyable. But for the joy set before him, he endured even the cross. It's got to be the real deal. So the question is, are you living a life of love or a lie of love? Only you can know. Only you can know, because it's way deep down. Just don't be deceiving yourself. I said there's no artificial preservative. It's true. Faith, hope, love must be made fresh daily. And it's made fresh daily by his Spirit in his word, which we are told also tastes like honey. Like the manitola. See, if he isn't our daily bread, he isn't our living bread. He's our moldy bread. He's our stale bread. I'm required to tell you these things. If they hurt a little, I'm sorry, but this is my job. Remember, we're talking about the whole leprosy thing. Remember, leprosy of the clothing and leprosy of the house was just another word for mold and mildew? Well, if he isn't your daily bread, he's your stale bread. When the devil tested Jesus, Jesus quoted Moses' manna scripture. It is written, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Blessings are good. Full stomach is good. But what's that worth without the Spirit? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. There's your Spirit. You want life through the Spirit? There it is. Every word. Not just hand-selected, not just some, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is how his Holy Spirit gives life. And the Son of God is our holy manitola. It's my new favorite title for him. Our manitola, our holy manitola. And he's the living word. And those who won't gather with him, he says, are scatterbrains. He didn't use that word, but I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said. Those who won't gather with me, says, will scatter. And I, you know what? Yeah, double-minded men and women. Way back before Jesus, the Lord said to Moses, the people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. That's their daily bread. In this way, boy, listen up, in this way, I will test them. I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. I left off last time saying the blessings are a test, and it's true. That's because they always come with instructions. But mostly the test is just to see what we do with them. If we'll humble our heart and choose to submit and commit to follow his lead, or to just stumble around doing our own thing. And you know as well as I do, that's what we mostly do. At least that's what I mostly do. And I'm trying to wake myself up. Realize, look at, just, I need to live a life of love. We have been so blessed. We forget, we have been so blessed. Not just with the material things. That's okay, bread, yeah, that's great, the bread. But we've been given his Spirit and his New Testament. That's a crazy gift. Not as a replacement to the Old Testament, but as a fulfillment. So that we can seek his testimony and really get to know our holy Manitoba and figure out what is going on here, what he's doing. And what our role is. But boy, I don't think we appreciate it like we're supposed to. We're called to seek and find. And to work out our salvation with fear of the Lord. And trembling at his word. But so many prefer to stand and defend what they've worked out for themselves. Lean not on your own understanding. I'm required to warn you. Been warning myself a lot lately. We're being tested. When I pray, I tell myself, wake up. Wake up. Open your eyes. Don't you be like them, okay? I mean, so many stand and defend what they've worked out for themselves. You don't be, that's not who we are. I don't just get up here and give you these. This isn't like, hey, now this week's trivia from the Bible. It's this week's pieces to the puzzle that we're going to put together because God promises, seek me with all your heart. You search with all your heart. I'll make sure you find me. But you have to believe that he is and he rewards those who diligently seek. You have to, you know, admit your blindness and your deafness and your hardness of heart and just cry out for help. And he says, you do those things. I'll just open the whole thing up for you. Right before I came up, I prayed, change me, change me. And through my change, change this church. And through their change, change this world. Amen. But it all comes just through, I mean, it just all comes down to, you know, icky people changing into the image of Christ. We're being tested. Do you know why they wandered for 40 years with the manna? We're told in Acts chapter 7, it's because even though Moses received living words to pass on to us, our fathers refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. They went back to Egypt in their heart. I think that's why Jesus fulfills that the prophet who says, out of Egypt I'll call my son. They all went back. And after 40 years of wandering, they get into the promised land. Joshua leads them across the Jordan, and the manna stops. And do you know what happens as soon as the manna stops? You know what the next, I mean, the story just right there? When the manna stops, the Lord shows up with sword in hand, ready to lead his children into battle. It says in Joshua 5, the manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. And I didn't want to put all the scriptures in, but if you track them, it actually gives the date, the month, the day of the month. It's 2 days after Passover. That's the same day that Jesus rises on, 2 days after Passover. Well, 2 days after Passover, the manna stopped. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. and he falls down. He calls him Lord. He worships him. It's this holy man of Tola with a sword in hand. You see, we're not called to wander in this world or in his word. We're not called to stumble. You, my friends, are called to run. We are called to run. Look at this gathering of scriptures. They'll exhort us. Let us lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us, busies us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author, because this race is in his word. The Lord said to Habakkuk, write the vision and make it plain that he may run who reads it. Yeah, the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run to it. A strong tower, it's one of the many Old Testament symbols. Why don't you run, find them all? Don't you find why he's a strong tower? Run, run, Forrest, run. Run in such a way that you may obtain the prize, because he wants to give it to someone. And when you run, you will not stumble. Strengthen me according to your word. I have chosen the way of truth. I will run the course of your commandments. Well, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary, but only if you're willing to be led and fed by the Lord, which means to be led by his instructions and daily fed by his word. Not put any time limit. You don't have to read this many chapters, this many minutes. No, it's a relationship. It's got to turn into a joy somehow in your life. And I'm about to tell you, maybe give you some clues on how it can. Because I have found a new way to read this Bible that is just crazy different from how I've ever read it before. Both of these, being led by his instructions and daily fed by his word, both are an exercise in humility and our growth in wisdom. Plus, it's how we practice our righteousness and express our love to the Lord. So don't try to rely on the stinking leftover scriptures from yesterday, okay? They're good. That's for the Lord to bring up and use in situations when he needs to speak to you. But when you're looking for him, you just run. Cast off the self-imposed busy that's holding you back. When God freed his children from the need to search for food, they found themselves a lot of time on their hands. Part of the test was to see what they would do with all that extra time he gave them. He gives us a lot of free time too. Detest stagnation in all its putrid, fetid forms. It's time to run. So hurry up and wait on the Lord for strength. And that's funny because that's throughout Scripture, we get this hurry up and wait, this run and wait on the Lord. And so I was thinking about this. Everything's kind of a riddle. It's like, how do you run and wait on the Lord? Hurry up and wait for him. I realized, oh, it's like running with a cell phone. Okay. And there's somebody watching me, and he's going to call when I've run past the right thing. And I'm just running, and I'm looking, and all of a sudden, and I'm waiting, but I'm running. And I'm not trying to figure anything out, because how can you before you get the call? And then the call comes, and he says, hey, you saw the barn back there? I did see the barn back there. And you saw the horse in the field? I did. The horse goes in the barn. Okay. Put the horse in the barn. You just run and look and wait for him to call, tell you what he wants you to see. Here's how it works. I'm telling you, this has absolutely revolutionized the way I read mostly the Old Testament, but the whole Bible, but it's really helped with the Old, because that's just tougher to read than the New, right? I mean, we all know that, right? You ever been, let's say you're in a car, your cell phone's not handy, you're trying to tell somebody about a movie, a scene in a movie you really liked, and you forget the actor's name. Yeah, oh, we hate that, don't we? We hate that. Oh, that's that weak feeling of not knowing. It's just a tiny, tiny irritating feeling, but we hate it. It's not being in control. I don't know everything. It's like, oh, what's his name? Come on, I'm smarter than this. I want to say Kevin Bacon, but that's not it. That's not right. What is it? Now, without knowing it, you have a life and death decision to make. Because you're about to continue to form a habit that will carry over into God's word. And it is life or death. See, if you leave that question mark, that irritating hole unanswered, and admit, I don't know who, I can't figure it out, you can still tell your story, right? You just have to live with that little uncomfortable, barely uncomfortable, but we hate it. But you just choose, okay, big question mark, whatever, I'm an idiot, okay. Anyway, so here's what I wanted to tell you, and then you tell. And what you will have done is activate a dormant superpower that God wired into your brain. You all know it. Your brain is designed to work on its own, behind the scenes, without you even being aware of it, to fill in any irritating hole that you've dug and left. 2 weeks later, you'll be doing something completely unrelated, not thinking about it, and bang, it was Ethan Hawke. Where'd that come from? Right? We've all had that happen, right? Just, what triggered that? It was, hey, honey, it was Ethan Hawke. I was trying to come up with a name, and I said, that's who that guy was. Because your brain has been designed to fill in the holes, the questions that you leave open, that you don't plug because you don't like that feeling of vulnerability and not being in control. And I think I have found you can leave an unlimited number of those holes, and your brain just keeps working to fill them in. However, go back to that car. If you say something like, and even just think something like, you know what, it might have been Kevin Bacon, or let's say it's Kevin Bacon. Whatever you have to say to take that icky feeling away, and now the feeling's gone, uh-oh. Because you just deactivated the dormant superpower in your head. Because you can't stand even the tiniest powerless feeling of not knowing, not being in control. And so you just get rid of the feeling. So whatever you have to do, yeah. Anyway, so it's like Kevin Bacon and blah, 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 blah. And now, 2 weeks later, there's no bang. Because you didn't activate it. It's the same with Scripture. It's exactly the same with Scripture. Not only that, but 3 years later, you'll be at a party somewhere, that movie will come up, and you'll be talking about Kevin Bacon, and no, it's not Kevin Bacon, yes it is, and you'll swear it's Kevin Bacon. You've seen him in that movie. And then you'll be proven wrong, and not only will you be embarrassed, you'll be in shock. I know I've seen him in that movie. How is that? And you'll never understand how that got planted in your head. You ever try to look up a scripture, a verse, only to find it's not in the Bible? But you've quoted it a lot. You see, God created our brain to work on humility and faith. He didn't write a confusing Bible. He gave you a confusing brain and said, trust me and don't try to guess me. When we fill in the gaps, we leave no room for his spirit to work. Run through his word. This just to me, I've been trying this, and oh my goodness, come to, you know, the being with four faces, one like an eagle and an ox and a man and a lion. I just look at it in my head, I go, huh, no idea. And it used to be, I go grab and see what this guy says, okay, good enough, no feeling, I got something. Now I look at it and I go, forget anything I ever thought. I don't have a clue what that is. And then I run. Run through Scripture. Don't try to figure it out. Try not to try to figure it out. Try to be like a child that just runs through the stories and reads them and goes, what the what? What is that? Manna. What is it? What is it? What is it? Gather your manna every day. What is it? What is it? And I have found as I continue to read and listen, your brain works all on its own. And all of a sudden I'm reading a passage about, and they had the face of a lion, and they turned toward it and went, hey, did that just say face of a lion? I'm not even trying. And he, with a face of an ox, he turned to them and pushed them to the end of the world, or the end of the earth. Did I just say face of an ox? I think there's an unlimited number of holes this will work with. I think your brain has this incredible, crazy superpower. You get out of your own way. Humility, faith, learning to leave the questions unanswered. That's what we're supposed to. That's a huge part of humbling, surrendering, growing, this process. Your job is to run and leave the feeling of not knowing. This is how we seek and find and trust and humble ourselves all at the same time. We must joyfully collect our what is it every day. just collect. And as you collect, you go, oh, good, good. I'm loading more holes in my head. I'm loading more. You know, wisdom tells us to dig for her like treasure. You dig in your head. You leave the hole, and he'll put the treasure in there. Don't settle for vain imaginations, yours or anyone else's. Game on. No guessing allowed. It's the first and foremost rule of our faith because it plugs up the process and gums up the whole purpose of the spirit of prophecy. I'm just done believing in other people's vain imaginations and my own. I'm just looking at his, I'm running through his word and I am just digging holes everywhere. And I am fully expecting with all confidence that his spirit will fill those in with his word. So that's what I'm doing. You want to battle stagnation with the sword of the Spirit, sword of the Lord? Then you just run in his word every day and let his spirit fill all those holes in your head. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We worship you. We choose to submit to you, commit to you, wait on you, and follow your lead. Holy Spirit, strengthen us according to your word and empower us to run with endurance the course you've laid out for us. Lord Jesus, we praise and thank you for living a life of perfect love and giving yourself up for us as a fragrant offering. And in your name, everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.